Today's Valero Alamo Bowl press conference will feature both head coaches, Stanford David Shaw and TCU's Gary Patterson. Coach Shaw, if I could ask you to start with an opening remark.
Well, first of all, thanks to everybody for being here. The week's been outstanding. I think you asked both groups of coaches and players. They've had a blast. The hospitality's been off the charts. And it's about time to play a football game. So, you know, we're just about ready to get this thing going. I thought our event last night was great and says a lot about the two programs. We're in the middle of an event. A guy compliments both teams on how well they behaved, how well they've been mixed together, how much fun they've had. So I think it says a lot about both programs, and it's just exciting to be a part of it.
Coach Patterson?
Yeah, I would say that doesn't happen very often. I would echo what Coach Shaw said. You know, this being our second time here, obviously the hospitality has been unbelievable, the people. You know, I always feel badly, to be honest with you, because I come here and I'm one of those guys that works too hard. You know, really I leave saying I wish I would have spent more time with Derek and Mike and all the different people that put on the event with Valero and the Alamo Bowl to be a part of it, just because it's a great city. It's a great time to be around it. And really, to be honest with you, I echo the same thing David talked about it, just you know, the kind of kids that we both have on both sides. We understand that we're going to have to get after it tomorrow night. That's what we do. But, you know, it's to know that after a three-hour ball game, you understand you're going to walk away and it's going to be more about other things. You know, kids coming out of TCU and Stanford, what else they want to do with their lives. So it's been a fun occasion, and, you know, we're excited about the ball game. You get a chance at the end of the year. All of us try to play games so you can see how you roll into the end of the next season, see how guys do this, and, you know, make people proud at your place. Win or lose, what you want to do is you want to play well. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is you want to play well, and you want to leave your kids with a great taste in their mouth.
Thank you. Questions?
Coach, what are the specific things in their defense, this terrific defense that they have, that concern you the most? And what particular players are you most impressed with?
Well, I think with any good defense, it's a combination of scheme and players within that scheme. Coach Patterson's been a great defensive mind for a long time in this profession. And what a lot of people don't see is the subtleties, you know, the line stunts, the movement, the effort which with the guys play, the subtle changes in coverage. You know, they do it so well and do it at such a high level. That's the biggest thing, is because it's not just the pre-snap read, it's the post-snap read, both run and pass, for the way their guys move and the way their guys fit.
Coach Shaw, could you talk about your bowl preparation as you matured as a head coach? You're 3-0 in your last three bowl games. Has your approach changed, and what leads to that success?
I'm a coach's kid. I've been around this thing my whole life, and I was a little kid, you know, running around the bowl games, you know, going all over the place. So for me, I want everybody that comes to the bowl game to have a good time. I want them to enjoy themselves. When the kids have free time, hey, I want them to have free time. I want them to enjoy the environment, enjoy where they are, have a good time. And at the same time, when it's time for work, we're going to get on the field. We're going to get after it. We're going to practice hard. We're going to meet very intensely and make sure guys are locked in, so that they come out away from this, you know, with a great memory of, you know what, hey, I enjoyed San Antonio. I had a great time. But at the same time, when it's time for football, you know, I did what my coaches asked me to do, which was go hard. So that's the biggest thing for me. I'd hate to walk away from a bowl game with the guys not feeling like they enjoyed themselves, and at the same time not feeling like they gave it their all. So we try to do both.
Front right.
Coach Shaw, what similarities do you see between your coaching style and that of Coach Patterson's?
Oh yeah, that's an easy question. I think we put both films on. You see effort. You see guys that care about each other. You see guys that care about what their responsibilities are. You see guys playing with passion and emotion. You know, that's, as a football coach, that's what you want to see. Yeah, and a high level of execution, you know, when you get it, is awesome. But you want every play on your film to represent what your program is about. Kids playing hard, kids playing fast, kids playing together, kids playing with passion and emotion, and trying to do their jobs.
John Whistler, San Antonio Express News. Gary, this question's for you. Does...
Dang it, I was hoping I was making this through this without having to answer one question.
I can change.
Oh, no, it's no. No,
go. Okay. Is there a team in the Big 12 that reminds you of Stanford, their offense?
Probably, I don't think so, but probably close as Iowa State. Come at you big, their length as far as their size, offensive line, tight ends, wide receivers. Well, you know, I'd probably say Iowa State is probably that team that's like that. Early gave us a lot of problems, but they come right at you. Well coached, play hard. They have a plan. There's not just, they're not around the place. You know, they understand what they're trying to do and how they're trying to attack you, and how they do it. And you know, it's Stanford's same way. You know, if you, they're not gonna get crazy if you can't stop the simple stuff. I mean, they're going to come at you. They got a great tailback, and what makes them a great tailback also is that, you know, they put them in positions, and they do a great job executing. If you see somebody stop a scheme in the first half, you need to understand there's going to be adjustments in how they're going to block you the second half, so you better be paying attention to what's going on and doesn't. And defensively, I don't think they get enough credit either. I think if you watch them, sometimes people say you look on film. A lot of times what they say about us, they don't look as fast. And then everybody I've talked to, you know, you better be careful about Stanford. They can run. They have a lot of length. They're going to, when they get in the red zone, they play big. And so, you have to get ready for them. And I think it says by, you know, he's been, three out of the last four Pac-12 championships since they've started. Stanford's won them, and they've been a part of them. I think that says as much as anything about what they've done as a program. At the end, they're the one of the last guys standing. That's what we're always trying to get done, is we're trying to be one of the last guys standing. So, and as David said before, I think, you know, both of us pride ourselves in the way our kids play, the effort. You know, when you talk to the NFL guys and say the same thing probably about Stanford guys, you know, so when they say, well, you're from TCO, we're not worried about you, because we know you'll do whatever you got to do to try to make the team. You're not going to embarrass us. And I think that's as big a compliment that you can have within your program, that you teach your kids how to act, accountability, work hard. They want something else in life besides just football when it's done. But when they are playing football, they're gonna do it. They're gonna get after it, and that's exactly what you want as a coach. You know, and after tomorrow night, then you have to go back and you got to build a team again. Some of those seniors will even do those things, and so, you know, I'd probably say Iowa State was the team that probably fits that as well as anybody does when it comes, because they're big and they have a lot of length. And they were very good.
Coach Shaw, ever since the Oregon game, we've seen Bryce Love hobble off the field from time to time, but at the same time, or turn around and come back and make a great run. What can we expect out of him in this game, especially after four weeks of rest?
Well, I think the biggest thing is he's been really smart. And we all know the thing with ankles, you just got to get off of them. So he's been off of his ankle for a long time. This week has been kind of a ramp-up week. He's practiced some. He's been on the side with the trainer some, just to continue to get that flexibility back and try to get that explosion back. He's not going to be 100% till next year. You know, hopefully next year he's with us. He's a tough kid. He's going to go hard. He's going to play as hard as he can. He'll play through pain. That's not a big deal to him. So hopefully he's closer to 100%, but I don't think he's going to be at 100%.
And also to you, Coach, what is the status of Walker Little and any of the other injured guys?
I think Walker, we have one more physical test today. If he makes it through today, he'll play. If he does play, he'll rotate in. He won't play the whole game. He hasn't played a whole game in a long time. I think he wants to play. We're going to put through some stuff today just to make sure he's structurally okay. He made it through the other day pretty well, practicing part of practice, not the full practice. So if he can make it through today, then he'll rotate in. He'll spend some time on the field.
Far left.
Coach Patterson, how long do you think you'll be able to use the lesson of the comeback here 2 years ago, and will it remain effective for you?
That lesson went away. I think Coach Shaw's been using it too. But, you know, for us, it's, you know, that's, we've been, this will be our 18th, my 18th bowl in 20 years here. So, I mean, it's, you better not look backwards very long or you'll find out you'll get slapped across the side of the head. Because we're not playing Oregon anymore, we're playing Stanford. So the biggest thing for us is, you know, we understand we have to play better early. You haven't read about us in the papers, you know, the front page, not the sports page, so that's a good thing this time around. It, you know, so because coming into this, that was kind of what I was coming into. So this morning, actually, it was the FCA breakfast. I got that phone call at like 4 in the morning, and then I was going to the FCA breakfast at like 7. And so, but it's, you know, it's all lessons. We all learn, you know, it's a different football team, playing a different football team. And so, you know, for us, it's always been what TCU's been about. It's never been about we're out of it. I mean, I think that's, whether it's that ball game or anything else, you know, we've always believed that you had to represent till the end. And as I told that team at halftime 3 years ago, I said, you know, didn't raise my voice or anything else, because in our hallway we have the front of the panel of this bowl game with both teams on it, and we have the scores. And basically I told the seniors, right now it says 31-0. I mean, you're going to come back here for 30 years and walk down these hallways. Is that what you want it to read? Because this is going to be your last ball game. Is that what you want it to read? And so that's basically what we said and what we did. And you know, obviously, you know the rest of the story. But it's, you know, it's whole different climate this time, just because of the type of team you're playing. And you know, we've been, you know, it's 3 years later. So,
Coach Shaw, we've asked a bunch of your players all week about this, but can you just talk about the significance between a 9-win and a 10-win season, which you'd have if you were able to win tomorrow night? When you look back at things,
you know, it's one of those, I don't know if it means that much more, but double digit wins always looks better than single digit wins. More wins is always better than less wins. But I think for me, it's still about how you play and how well you play. You know, I think and you always want to finish the season with a win and all that stuff. I don't know that it means that much more. It looks better, you know, on T-shirts and, you know, all the stuff that you put on the internet. But it's one of those bars that sometimes you set as far as getting to 10 wins. But I mean, more than just, you know, there's not a big difference between 9 and 10. It's just one more, but you always want to try to win.
Gary, you said you got the call a couple years ago at 4 a.m. and you're going to FCA breakfast?
At 7.
At 7. Has that experience of what you went through caused you to change any of your restrictions on your players, the way you...
He went back out, so...
Pardon?
He went back out after bed check, so... No, our kids, as a general, they act right. They know... I sent two home at the Rose Bowl. Biggest stage that... possibly beyond at that time for us at TCU. So, I mean, there's an expectation level of what we do and how we do it, and it doesn't matter if you're the best player or you're the walk-on. It makes no difference. We all represent TCU, and you got to understand, when one screws up, then we're all that. Whatever they did, you're every guy on your team's all that. So you got to be smart, because again, what I said earlier, this is not about teaching them to be great football players. That's not the total package. It's about when you leave, we say at TCU, it's not 4, it's 40. What are we trying to do from 22 to 62? What are we trying to bring out? You know, if you've been somewhere like I've been 20 now, we've been here 20 years, my first set of seniors are 42 years old. I mean, 42 years old, we've had over 400 graduates come out of TCU since we've been a part of the program. 300 and some of them came back for the spring game. And they all know what the expectation level, and they all have their stories. Some take some 5 years to come back because, you know, I'm not real happy with you. And then as they get older and more mature, they figure out what we're trying to get done, because it's never been personal to coaches, except that you're trying, you know, you turned over somebody's kid, they turned them over to you so you could you could help them in their progress to become a man in life and to go out and represent in the proper manner. So that's why we get done. You know, people ask me, it's kind of, you know, I say, because I'm kind of crazy on the sideline, so you guys, you should try to be a defensive coordinator with no huddle. You watch me tomorrow night, I won't be that much away unless he's decided to went to no huddle.
Yeah, we change our whole offense.
Yeah. I mean, every 8 seconds you're trying to get a call in. You know, most head coaching, you're trying to match what they do. If I was just acting like a head coach, I could just stand there. But that's not what I do. I still help call defense and do things. And so how do you know, it's all about winning. It's not about what you guys think or what the interpretation. As I tell my players, it's there's Coach P and then there's Gary. Coach P is 3 hours on practice, you know, 2 hours in practice and 3 hours on game day. And then there's Gary. Once they walk off the field, then it's about life. Mrs. P and I, what we do and how we do it. And Corey and Coach Shaw here are the same way as far as, you know, what we try to get done with young people, try to make them into somebody. You know, it helped be an extension of their parents, you know, because, you know, they turned them loose to us for 4 years. We made a promise, most of us sitting in their living room, that we'd help them get a degree and we'd help them grow up and we'd help them do all that. You know, there's still some of us still believe that winning's not the most important thing that we do, so.
Yeah, Coach Shaw, you said a minute ago that with Bryce Love, you hope he's with you guys next year. Is that still an open question? What's his status for the future?
Yeah, he hasn't made a decision, I don't believe. You know, he's just thought about the bowl game. You know, after the bowl game, I'm sure he'll talk to his family. And, you know, we were able to spend a lot of time together, going to the College Football Awards and Heisman and all that. And he's just, you know, said, Coach, I'm just getting ready for the bowl game. You know, we'll worry about that other stuff when we worry about it. You know, he's just excited to go and play. And, you know, I don't know that he's leaning one way or another. He really hasn't put a lot into it. He's just trying to get his ankle as healthy as it can be so he can come and play with his teammates tomorrow night.
Do we have any final questions up in front?
Yeah, and I'm really excited about that. I just want you guys to know that him to have 4 weeks of rest. A healthy Bryce Love, just so that we all. Holy Coach, moly.
Coach Patterson, on that very topic, who have been the top running backs that your team has faced over the course of your career at TCU, and how does Bryce Love, I'm talking specifically about breakaway type running backs, who and how does Bryce Love fit into that group?
Well, obviously he's one of the best. You know, just for us in the last, just in our four losses, two of them to Oklahoma and one to Georgia. We played last year in the bowl game. The running backs they have at Georgia, we played a year ago, which when you ask me types of teams, probably Georgia and Arkansas were also teams that are very similar Stanford does things. But you have those guys there. I mean, the guy that played at Oklahoma this year is very big and powerful. I wouldn't say he's the same, but he's a good player. But, you know, we've seen some guys, you know, all the way back to playing Oklahoma with the guy that was playing in Minnesota. He came out of Texas. So we've seen some awfully good tailbacks in our time, and we've had some bad days and we've had some good days against those kind of guys. But what I do know that you have to do is you got to play great leverage and you got to be able to tackle. If you don't do any of the above, then usually it doesn't turn out real well for you. But what I like best about Bryce Love, just listening to David and watching from afar, is just the way he handles everything else in life. You know, football is really important. He wants to be a great player, it sounds like. He wants to play at the NFL level, but bottom line to it, he's also, I think he wants to go into, you know, he wants to have a great profession when he gets done and help people and do things. I think that's one of the things I think that sets him apart from a lot of the guys that we played through, you know, like an Adrian Peterson or the guys, you know, I don't know as much about the guys that are playing for Georgia. But I know that in both cases, you know, you have to play with a lot of energy and you have to play a team defense to be able to even slow down anybody that's like that. So it'll be a, you know, and I'll be honest with you, our kids were really excited to get, you know, when you get to this time of the year, you don't want to play, you know, you watch some of these guys that didn't play in bowl games. You know, your kids, you know, if you have a good football team, they don't want to play against average. They didn't come and play all year. play against average. They want to play against the best, win or lose. That's what you step on the field for. You want to play against the Bryce Loves of the world. You want to play against their defensive tackle. You want to play against guys that are played at a very high level, because you always want to match yourself, because it helps your resume. If you can play well, then you help you when the NFL guys turn on the film. It helps your stock, because they see you play against good people, good offensive linemen, good defensive linemen, good tailbacks. If you can tackle him in open field and you're a safety or you're a linebacker or somebody like that, you help yourself. And so for our kids, you know, in way TCU's always approached things, we've always wanted to play against the very best, and definitely Bryce Love is one of the very best. And so for us, I mean, that's what it's about. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. It's just, you know, your kids, if you have kids that like to play the game, you don't want to see two or, you know, three. You want to see number, you know, the first one, because that's what you got to the end of the season to do. You want to play. That's why you want to play in the biggest bowl game you can play in, whatever you do, because it gives you an opportunity to do that. And I think they're really excited about that opportunity, just because of the kind of kid he is and the kind of player he is. So.
Jamie, you have a question?
Gary, Kenny Hill, he started somewhere else with a flash, earned an early nickname. Didn't end up working out for him there. He came to you. It can't necessarily be easy for a leadership position like that in a transfer. What, as, you know, as a quarterback, how would you sum up his career with you at this point?
Well, you know, it's the interesting thing is, you know, I get known for a defensive guy, but we have two NFL quarterbacks right now, Trayvon and Andy Dalton. Then Kenny, you know, and really what I do with Kenny is you don't know when you do it whether it's going to be smart or not, but basically I didn't let him come to TCU initially. You know, he's from South Lake Carroll, which is close. Came back, he went to junior college for that spring, and we got all the hype off the media off of him, and then he kind of just kind of snuck into TCU in the summertime, and he got a chance. And basically I just told him that the only rules were that he had to come over to all the spring practices so I could get to know him. You know, it's as a head coach, you're in charge of 120 some guys. Every individual is different. And, you know, I knew him. We recruited him out of high school, and he came from a great family, a very athletic family, and good parents. And so, you know, so what is it that didn't turn out the way it did? And to be honest with you, ever since he's been at our place, he's been great. School-wise, off the field, you know, I'm sure there's things I don't know as a head coach. You know, it's head coach, it's kind of like being a parent. You're the last person sometimes knowing. But usually in a town size of a town of Fort Worth, you know, really I have my little birds. I know pretty much what's going on as a general. And he's been great. And I think he's appreciated that the second opportunity. And to be honest with you, we have too. He's tried to be everything we've wanted him to be, and within his abilities, you know, to help us win football games. And I think his emotion when we lost our first ball game against Iowa State, I think, to me, summed it all up, because he was very upset at himself at a lot of things, just because, you know, he was coming back here to prove that he was the kind of player that he left high school in. And so he's going to walk out of here. He's going to get his degree and, you know, get, you know, not only in football, but, you know, he's, you know, his dad was a baseball player, his younger brother's a baseball player, and he probably has an opportunity, to be honest with you, to be a guy that could go in the organization, may be a guy that can be a baseball player. I allowed him, I think, last spring or this summer to work out. And so, you know, to get his opportunity to be able to, so they could see, and I think it went, he just said it went well. I didn't ask any more. I figured I'd find out at the end of the season how that all went down. But, you know, it's our job to help them. You know, we all have jobs. Coaches, we have jobs because of young people. You know, I think we forget sometimes it's our job. Once we keep our jobs because they play well and we win ball games, how do you pay them back? You know, you pay them back, you know, at the end, because they never quit being, for what we say, they never quit being frogs. You're still writing job recommendations. You're still making phone calls. You're still doing all the things that you need to do to make sure you give them a chance to be successful, just like they've helped you become successful. So,
thank you, coaches.
If I could ask